That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. The Oh You Didn't Know show brought to you by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. My name is Seth Gutwrench Guttenplan. You can find me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. And check out my blog at GutwrenchPowerBlog.com, GUTT, WrenchPowerBlog.com. My normal co-host, John, is not with us tonight due to a death in the family, so we want to send out our condolences to John. Hope to have him back again next week. We also want to send out our thoughts to those who are suffering from Hurricane Sandy. Hope everyone gets their power back soon, and hopefully you'll be with us again soon. Tonight, we have a great show for you tonight. In fact, our special guest is here with us on the line now. He is the Pro Wrestling Syndicate champion, Kevin Matthews. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me clearly? I'm out of my car right now.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. I'm so excited for the show coming up on November 9th in Rahway, New Jersey. Kevin Matthews will be going one-on-one with Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. Are you excited for this match, Kevin?
Am I excited to wrestle Mr. Belding? I don't know if excited is the word I'm necessarily used. More so anxious than excited. Mr. Belding, as well documented, he disrespected myself and he disrespected Reality Check on September 14th when he came in to PWS. And he just tried to make an example out of us just to get himself a little publicity and to bring his name back in the spotlight. And, you know, there's a business that I've been a part of for 13 years now, and I didn't take that too lightly. You're not going to just come in and walk into our business that you've never stepped foot in before, just do a little quick thing, and then you wreak the publicity and the spotlight and the media and the press and all that crap, and then we're just going to let it slide. And he did it at my expense. He did it at Devin Moore's expense especially. He did it at PWS's expense. And, I mean, they were going to let it slide, but I wasn't going to let it slide. I'm sure they enjoy reaping the publicity off this, but it was at our expense, and I'm looking forward. I'm really anxious. I'm glad and excited that he accepted the challenge, and I'm really glad and excited at the opportunity to see him face-to-face in the ring because something bad is going to happen, and it's not going to be to me.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. And for those of you, for those people who are listening and are not as familiar with PWS, can you tell them a little bit how this match with Mr. Belding got set up?
Well, Pro Wrestling Syndicate has been around since 2007 now, and if I remember correctly, I debuted on their second show along with Devin Moore. No, he debuted on their third show. So as it stands right now, I'm currently the longest active competitor on the PWS roster, being there for 5 years now. And, I mean, they've been running small, quiet shows, whatever, 3 months apart, 5 months apart. Some shows got canceled, other things, bad weather happened, yada, yada, yada. They've been just flowing with motion and, you know, just like any other independent, not really making any noise or shaking shit up or nothing like that. And then this past March, Pat Buck got involved and they really stepped it up and they both put their heads together and said, we want to make this the company in the East Coast and then the entire United States and ultimately the biggest non-national company in the entire world that doesn't have a TV deal, so to speak. Basically, the footsteps Ring of Honor did back in 2002 when they took it to the next level and they were the premier company. That's where we want to be, and that's where I think we're slowly on pace to be. So this past March, when it finally got kicked off and stuff like that, for those who weren't familiar, we started making headlines with the whole Sid debacle where Sid flat out no-showed after he was booked a plane ticket to wrestle Matt Hardy in March, and Sid didn't show up at the event. His excuse was lame at best. He said that he lost his wallet in a deli, that he was getting a sandwich on the way to the airport. Sid, who's notorious for no-showing. Pat Buck then went out in the ring, and he called Sid out on his BS. He called him out on his lies in front of the whole crowd, something unprecedented, something nobody really does, period, anymore. And it's a page basically out of Paul Heyman's book that he used to do. He didn't want to insult the fans. Pat and Eric did not want to lie to the fans and be like, oh, card subject to change and pull that baloney, you know? Because card subject to change is a line that everyone uses on every flyer as a scapegoat in case something like this happens where they're like, oh, we warned you in fine print on the bottom and card subject to change. No, Pat went out there, he called out Sid, he said, "You're full of crap." He called Sid on the phone, and he gave his phone number out to the entire crowd. Some people didn't agree with it, others did. I personally did. You want to screw the fans? You want to screw PWS? Screw you. How about that? It's our turn to screw over you instead of vice versa. We're not going to sit there and just take it. We made headlines doing that. Then we furthered it in May when we brought in Bret the Hitman Hart for the first time ever in Rahway, New Jersey. Then we furthered it in June when we brought Great Muta to the States for the first time in a decade. He wrestled on the East Coast. Then we continued in September. We brought in Mr. Belding. And then that's when it all went down. On September 14th, Mr. Belding came in to play commissioner. And that's when he got a little too involved in something he shouldn't have been involved in. At the end of my match with Sami Callihan, when I retained my heavyweight title, my buddy Devin Moore slid in the ring. He started putting the boots to Sami, and then that's when all havoc broke loose. Big O ran down, Starman ran down, Tony Nese ran down, and then we're outnumbered. I mean, it's 2-on-4 right now, and then Mr. Belding decides he wants to get in the ring, and for no reason at all gives Devin Moore a stunner. You explain to me when Big O, Starman, Tony Nese are all in the ring, and Sami Callihan, and I'm already outside the ring. I got out of that. It's 4-on-1 now. Why does Mr. Belding need to get involved? For publicity, because Mr. Belding wanted his name back out there in the spotlight and steal the glory and stuff like that. So everyone wants to paint me up to be the villain. I'm painting myself up to be the savior.
Absolutely. And Mr. Belding, as for those who don't know, he's what, over 60 years old at this point?
He's 61 years old. Mr. Belding is 61 years old.
And how do you feel about getting in the ring with a man who's over 60 years old? Are you afraid you're going to seriously hurt him?
Wasn't that the plan? I mean, is that why I called him out to begin with? I mean, he didn't care if he hurt Devin Moore. I mean, luckily Devin Moore is just fine and dandy, but I mean, he didn't care. He was just worried about himself and getting his own name out there. He hasn't done anything credible since Saved by the Bell. So he's just worried about getting his own name in the spotlight, and hey, congratulations, you succeeded. And I'm going to take it one step further. He should thank me, because no matter what I choose to do to him at the show, whether if I cripple Mr. Belding and he has to leave on a stretcher or in a wheelchair, guess what? It's going to make TMZ. So, hey, Dennis, like, no matter which way you flip the coin, you're going to get more publicity. So in the end, you should thank me, no matter what I do. Whether I let you walk out of the building or get stretcher out, you need to thank me. Because I'm going to get you more publicity, and I'm going to keep your name in that spotlight, buddy.
Kevin, were you concerned at all that Mr. Belding would not accept your challenge?
Yes and no. I don't think he had much of a choice, because when I put it out there in the video, he didn't accept it. I mean, obviously, not many people were able to access that video, and it wasn't accessible in a lot of different ways and stuff, so not a lot of people saw it. So Mr. Belding probably, Dennis Haskin, was hoping that it would probably just slide under the rug and nobody would acknowledge that the video even happened. But then when I was in front of 1,000 people on a live microphone and I reiterated what I said and I challenged him yet again, then his back was to the wall, because now it's on video footage. A lot of people saw it firsthand, and people started tweeting him nonstop saying, "Are you going to accept it? Are you going to accept it?" A lot of the internet sites picked it up. Kevin Matthews challenged Mr. Belding. Now he had to answer. So was he going to put out something saying, "I'm not a man, I won't accept your challenge," or was he going to try to save face and say, "I'll stick up for myself"? Yeah, absolutely. And I knew if I baited him in, so to say, and backed him into a corner where the only answer he could say was, "I accept," I knew I would get what I want. So, I mean, I wasn't really concerned if he would accept or not. I was just more or less aggravated that it had to take me a little bit more effort to get him to accept than I needed to do. But nevertheless, the match is set. It's set. Everything's going down November 9th. What is it, a week? Is this airing live right now? So we're going to be, what, how far are we away from the show? Today's Wednesday, so it's a week from this Friday, right?
Yep, we are 9 days away. Tomorrow's November 1st. So we are 9 days away from the event. Now, you said you've been wrestling for 13 years, is that correct?
I started in November 1999. Absolutely.
November 1999.
This month right now, hey, it's November 1st. Look at that, November 99. This month celebrates
exactly.
My 13 years in the business.
Exactly, and actually November 1st happens to be my birthday, so,
happy
you know,
birthday.
This is very exciting. Thank you, and you said you've been doing this for 13 years. I don't know how long Mr. Belding has been planning for this match, but what do you expect from him? He's obviously not a trained wrestler.
I mean, ultimately, isn't that his problem, not mine? I mean, he opted to go into acting and then come into the wrestling business. That's the equivalent of me just jumping into a Hollywood A-list blockbuster-style movie tomorrow alongside Bruce Willis and, I don't know, Jennifer Aniston and expecting to be as good as them. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because they've been doing this shit a lot longer than I have, and I've been doing this a lot longer than Belding has. He accepted the challenge. It's not my job to send him top-notch training and whatnot. I don't care if he's over in Russia doing Rocky-style 4 training for Drago. I mean, that's on him. I mean, I there's no sweat off my back. Whatever training he does is solely on him. Maybe he's at the gym pumping iron with the Big O or wrestling King Slender in the Amazon with Starman. I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
Do I care? No. All I care is that moment when my music hits the PWS Heavyweight Champion, Kevin Matthews, I'm in the ring. Then boom, whatever that song is. And when I wake up in the morning, and then he waltzes his fat ass down to the ring, how 15 people help him get in the ring, stands face to face with me. In that moment, when that bell sounds, what are you going to do right then and there? You don't have your guys? I don't need my guys. It's just me and you, buddy. It's just me and you in that ring at that moment. So I'm looking forward to that. That's 9 days away. I'm shaking in anxiety looking forward to this. I'm just at the thought of getting my hands on this fat old man.
Now, your champion, Kevin, is your title going to be on the line? Is it possible that Mr. Belding could become the PWS champion?
My title is 110% not on the line. Answer this. If you were me, what on this planet has Dennis Haskins done? He hasn't even had a match yet to warrant a title shot. I mean, I get it. That would be great publicity. No. I mean, PWS, the officials came to me. Eric Tapout, Pat Buck, they came to me and they asked me, they're like, do you want to put your title on? I said, absolutely not. They said, what's the problem? If you know you could destroy him, blah, 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 we'd get the publicity out of it. I said, no. I said, because it doesn't make any sense. He didn't earn a title shot. I'll do the same scenario if you want to transfer over to the UFC. Same thing with Junior Dos Santos, the heavyweight champion. Junior Dos Santos is refusing to put his title on the line against Alistair Overeem. He hates Alistair Overeem and wants to fight Alistair Overeem, but Alistair Overeem, in his eyes, does not deserve a title shot. He knows he can beat Alistair, but will not defend the title. Same scenario here. I know everyone knows I could kill Belding. They know I could do it in seconds. I could beat Belding faster than I defeated the Marvelous one last month. But I'm not defending my belt against him. Just on principle alone, he does not deserve to say he had a title shot. Not happening. It's not happening.
Well, I agree with you that you are absolutely going to destroy him. I don't see any way that you can't destroy him. But if for some reason Mr. Belding is able to score the victory, would you then be willing to put your title on the line against him in a rematch?
If Mr. Belding somehow scores the victory, the first thing I'm going to do is get the footage of PWS, and I'm going to sit in my hotel room or I'm going to sit in my apartment or wherever the hell I am and review it time and time and time again on how he was able to defeat me. Because that's just going to be a magical – we have a wizard in PWS. I don't know if you listen to our podcast, but we have a magical wizard. Unless he waves his magical wand over my head. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, that probably sound crazy right now. But if you listen to our podcast, you'd understand. Which is 2.5wrestlers.com, cheap plug, or on iTunes, 2.5wrestlers. If he waves a magical wand and Mr. Belding somehow able to defeat me, or maybe he's going to shank me or shoot me, because please, just inform me. Let's paint some scenarios how Belding can beat me. He needed to get helped up by the Big O after he did a stunner.
Yeah, I remember that.
All I need to do is push him. I'll put a banana peel on the floor and let him slip on it and just put my boot on his chest. I don't want to beat Mr. Belding. I want to beat down Mr. Belding. There's a difference. I don't get nothing off of saying I pinned Dennis Haskins' shoulders to the mat. Like, that's a monumental victory for Kevin Matthews. Like, no, that does nothing for me. Me saying, like, wow, Kevin left Mr. Dennis Haskins in a pool of his own blood. Like, he needed medics to tend to him. He needed to be carted out there on a stretcher. Now that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. That's what I'm aiming to do.
Yeah.
Mr. Belding's not defeating me, so I'm really not going to entertain that question anymore.
Now, Kevin, you're obviously going to beat the crap out of Mr. Belding. Do you think that you will beat him very quickly, beat him up very quickly and go for the pin right away, or do you think you will milk it a bit and get all the beating out in a longer period of time?
Well, since September 14th, I've been salvaging at this. I've been salivating at the opportunity for this. I'm the one who baited him in there. Like, why would I, for 2 seconds, want to just beat him in a minute and walk out there? That's not enjoyable. You ever been in a schoolyard fight with someone where you really, 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 really hated their guts, and you look forward to that 3 o'clock bell, and then you just wanted to beat the crap out of them, and then as you're doing it, you're enjoying it, and you don't want it to stop. Your friends yank you off, and then you throw them to the side, and you run back at that guy, and you keep going because you just hate that guy. Maybe he stole your high school girlfriend or something like that, or he banged your mom. I don't know what they do nowadays in high school, but don't you just got to keep banging this guy's head against the floor, and you just never want it to end until your gas tank runs out. That's what I want to do. I don't want this to be quick. I'll milk it. I'll milk it till the fans are just bored or mortified at the gruesomeness behind it, and they're like, oh no, we're gonna leave. This just sucks. This has been going on for 57 minutes already. The guy's half dead. Like, leave him alone. I'll keep going. If you want to leave, walk out the door. If this is too gross for you to witness, if it's 1 a.m. in the morning and I'm still beating this old man down, hey, so be it. So if you don't like to see it, then I'm not there for you this go-around. Normally I am, but not this go-around. I'm there for revenge, for myself, for Devin Moore, for Reality Check, and for PWS, even though they don't think that I'm representing the company in this matter. They think I'm out for myself, but I'm there for them. I'm defending the honor of this company.
Now, speaking more about PWS, obviously your match with Mr. Belding is not the only match on the card. What other matches, who else is going to be at this event that people should be looking out and looking forward to?
Alpha Jr. makes his debut, the former Manu. He makes his debut with us against Dan Moff. These guys have wrestled each other a long, long, long time ago, over a decade ago, and they used to kill each other back then, and they're looking forward to this match, so this is going to be a hard-hitting one. Sammy Callahan, the guy that I defeated two times! Oh, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say that, you know, it's very exciting to see a former WWE superstar Manu. I know he really didn't last very long in WWE, but
he left
I just wanted
me.
To...
That's a longer than me. Okay, we got Sammy Callahan versus Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen, I don't know if he's ever worked with us in PWS before. Maybe not. He might have. I don't know. But nevertheless, I want to say this is his first time. Whatever the case may be, Kevin Steen comes to PWS, comes back or debuts, one or the other, against Sammy Callahan, the former number one contender, the former heavyweight champion of PWS, the guy that I dethroned after 2 years. That guy. What else do we got? We got Jerry Lynn versus Colt Cabana. I mean, try to find one thing bad about that match. That match is phenomenal on every aspect. We got the Fat Pack, the newly crowned tag team champions. Hopefully we'll have tag titles this show after our tag titles were stolen back in, like, I don't know, September or June or what. June they were stolen, whatever. They wrestle against Super Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers make their debut. Are you guys familiar with them?
I'm not personally familiar with them. However, I'm sure those PWS fans who are listening should be well aware of them.
Super Smash Brothers are awesome. Super Smash Brothers, that match should be awesome. That match is going to be a good test for Fat Pack. And it might be a short title reign for Fat Pack with the invisible belts that they have. But Fat Pack and Super Smash Brothers are going to go at it. A six-way involving... let me see if I'm doing this all off the top of my head. Let me see if I remember this correctly. I want to say it's A.R. Fox, Matt Hardy, Lucifer Darkseid, Davey Richards. There's two more in that. Do you guys know those other two? I'm trying to remember.
Let's see. I'm gonna find out.
Davey Richards,
right now.
Lucifer Darkseid, Matt Hardy. Apollyon, Davey Richards.
Apollyon,
A.R. Fox.
A.R. Fox. Davey Richards, Lucifer Darkseid, Matt Hardy, and Rich Swann.
Richie Swann. Yes, a six-way. And our six-ways have been a staple point of all of our shows where they've notably been stealing our shows. And that should be no different. I mean, that one has Matt Hardy and Davey Richards, who have not taken part in any of our six-ways yet. They're both involved in that. That should be a show stealer, that match. I'm really curious, actually, to see that myself. Rich Swann is just... he's just incredible. If you guys seen Rich Swann, Richie Swann is absolutely, positively fantastic. Can't say enough of good things about Swanee. A dark side, obviously, 500-pounder that does a moonsault. Apollyon, who wrestled Dan Moff in the last show, and it was impressive as hell. That match is going to be good. I'm actually curious to see myself who comes out on top. That's a true test, and obviously the veteran Matt Hardy's in there, so and Davey Richards, too. It's going to be a good one. That's going to be a hell of a show. That was going to be a hell of a match on a hell of a show.
Yeah, the whole card seems like it's really going to be a really great show.
It's show of the year, man. Look at the title. It's show of the year.
It is the show of the year. Live Friday, November 9th at the Rahway Rec Center in Rahway, New Jersey. The action starts at 8 p.m. Now, Kevin, you mentioned, and you know, I was reading about how you had a tryout with WWE years ago. Is that correct?
I was signed to the WWE. You didn't read too thoroughly, huh?
Well, it was a developmental contract. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that's what you get signed to. You get signed to a developmental contract. Actually, there's no such thing as a quote-unquote developmental contract. It's a booking contract. I was signed to a booking contract with the WWE.
Okay, can you explain a little bit of your experience with that?
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I worked with them for a year, not on the contract. I did 28 shots with them, Raws and SmackDowns, a couple of dark matches, a couple of televised matches, did a bunch of security skits, yada, yada, yada. Then I got signed, sent to Deep South, where they had Bill DeMott as the head trainer there, and it was the absolute worst experience of my life. I butted heads with Bill on a daily basis. Me and him fought on a daily basis. I answered back to everything he said. I stood up my ground. I refused to conform to his ways, and I fought with him on everything, and ultimately he buried me until I got fired. And he buried me in his little stupid book that he came out. I'm listed in 5 pages of his book. I wish nothing but the worst on Bill DeMott. I hope he dies on a daily basis. Currently, right now, there's 21 people injured in FCW under his training since he got hired back, and the office just came down on him as of today saying, why are all of our guys hurt and looking beat up at TV? And Bill DeMott's probably going to get fired again. There was no reason to hire him back in the first place. Firing him was the best thing the company ever did. Hiring back was the worst move the company ever made, and he's going to get fired a second time for the exact same reason he got fired the first time. That's it.
Yeah, I saw you. I think you posted about this on Facebook today, right? You did?
Correct. Facebook, Twitter, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I have friends in developmental, I have friends on the road, yep. They still feed me every bit of information. He slowly conformed back to his bullshit ways,
and
he did it down in Georgia. Yep.
And I've read from other wrestlers who have spent both time with WWE and on the independent circuit, a lot of them prefer the independent circuit. Why do you think that is?
Politics. There's no politics. But it also depends on who you're talking to, because if you're talking to certain guys, I don't know, guys like MVP or Shelton Benjamin or any of those kind of guys that could get like Hurricane Helms and these guys who could get steady work, Matt Hardy, and really good paydays and make a good living, and they don't have gold dust, guys like that, where they don't have to deal with the politics behind the scenes and stuff like that, and backstage where they make their own schedule, they get paid really well, they make a very, very good living off of just taking selective independent dates and overseas dates, then yeah, it's great for them. But as far as the developmental talent goes, I wrestled 5-6 years before they signed me or something like that, 5 years or something along those lines, and luckily, I made all these connections and stuff like that. I'm not making my living off of wrestling. I mean, as of right now, it would be impossible to do that. I'm making a decent amount of money whenever I do the PWS shows. I'm making a good chunk of change. But if you don't make it to that level and you're just in developmental, like that's a shell shock, especially if you didn't do the circuit beforehand. Because if you get fired, there's nowhere for you to go, and then you're basically starting at ground zero. You're not making any money. You're not doing anything. And then all you know is what WWE gave you, which was a weekly paycheck, and then you basically quit and drop out of wrestling once they fire you, because it's just like, oh, man, I'm not going back to that crap. Well, I'm not going to start at ground zero. Nobody knows who you are in developmental. It's not like it's televised. It's televised in local crap around whatever section they're running in, Georgia, Kentucky, Florida. Other than that, you're worth nothing. You didn't do anything on TV notable. You're not worth jack. So, I mean, it's a crapshoot. So, I mean, as far as I go, I mean, WWE wasn't going to mentally break me. I mean, I was down and out for the first year, and then I picked myself back up, got a couple of injuries, had a couple of surgeries. I'm in great shape now. I feel great. Everything's great. PWS is doing great. We're making great waves. And I know that it sounds carny and corny to say it on an independent level. Like, oh, yeah, every independent thinks they're the next big thing and stuff like that. We don't say we're the next big thing. We're just letting the cards fall into place, and other people are saying we're slowly turning into the next big thing that everyone's ranting and raving about. Yes, we put over our product. Yes, we're very happy with our product. We take great pride in what we're doing and how we're delivering and the fans we're receiving, we're getting, and the way the fans are receiving it. But we're not tooting our own flutes all day saying we're better than the rest, blah, blah. The difference that we have between every other company, those who listen to the podcast and follow us on Twitter or Facebook and stuff like that, we're brutally honest with the fans, brutally honest, to the point where, especially on the podcast when we do the Fallout episodes of PWS or the show, podcast leading up to that, big shows, if some drama happens, if someone pulls some kind of card where they're holding us up for money or they're doing this or doing that, we expose it. We expose it, and the fans have the right to know. If you're a fan and you're paying $20, $30 for a ticket to see this individual and we have to yank them from the show, we're not, and they're going to go and put us on blast saying, well, they just pulled me off the show, they're unprofessional, which has happened in the case before with people like Ashley Massaro and stuff like that. No, we're gonna expose you, and we're going to tell the damn truth. If you want to play that card, let's play the real card. Let's say that you're holding us up for money when you made an original deal. Let's say that you're switching around your booking arrangement. Let's say that you're refusing to do something that you previously agreed to for a certain amount of money, but you still want to get paid for it. No, we're going to expose the crap out of every single person who wants to do shady business. Because it's time that the fans, who are the ones paying their money, like, are smartened up to what the hell really truly is going on. That's the way we look at it. That's what separates us from the other companies. Ring of Honor closes the door to the fans. They build a fortress to their fans where they do not let their fans within 15 miles of that fortress, and they want to pretend their fans are freaking mentally retarded. Excuse the term, but that's what they want to pretend their fans are. They want to pretend their fans are dumb, dumber than a brick, where they don't know anything, where they could be like, they could paint up these storylines, and that's what really happened, and blah, 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 and the fans buy this and believe this. The fans are smart. The fans started getting smart back in the mid-90s. The fans are not stupid nowadays. This isn't 1987. Yes, you could do storylines. PWS does storylines. But there's a lot.
With Twitter and Facebook, you're able to expose things right away to everyone. And why do you think that these people, these wrestlers or whoever they are backing out, are playing these games?
Every individual is different. Everybody's different. No matter what sport, you can go to basketball and there's that one guy who thinks he's worth more than he is, or thinks that you have to roll out the red carpet. In Ashley Massaro's case, her and her boyfriend thought that she was the big deal. Like, her boyfriend, and we already documented this, her boyfriend, after that show, called Eric Tapout at 3 o'clock in the morning, at literally 3 o'clock in the morning the next day, and said, listen, you drew 1,000 people. Ashley Massaro was the big getter on your show. We want you should give us a percentage of your gate. He wanted Eric to tally up what they made as far as what they drew in the crowd and stuff, and mail him a percentage of that, because Ashley Massaro, you know, the same show that had Belding, Powers of Pain, Belding, Powers of Pain, Demolition, The Goon, Talia, Velvet Sky, and all of these other, Matt Hardy, all of these people on it, and Ashley, who nobody was even, Lex Luger was on the show, nobody was even at Ashley's table. But Ashley was such a big name, she drew that whole crowd, that PWS needs to give her a cut of the gate. It's delusional shit like that that people pull that we expose. Like, why wouldn't we expose that? We're not going to keep that hidden and just let her go on a rant like they're unprofessional, they suck, blah, blah, blah. Everyone tell them that you want a refund, blah, blah. No, you want to play that game? Let's throw the truth out there and see how that goes over, really. Let's see how good that goes over. It went over really well. The internet loved that story.
Do they think that they're going to get away with people not finding out about it?
Everyone's different. Every individual is different. Some people are delusional. Some people think they're entitled to more. Every single person is different. Me, myself, as a person, I'm just a brutally honest person. Same thing with Eric. Same thing with Pat. The three of us, that's our strength. That's also maybe our weakness in some people's eyes. We're brutally, brutally honest. We have nothing to lose. What, WWE's not going to hire us? Okay. Been there, done that. I mean, Bill DeMonte, I don't want to go back. Like, what, they're not going to hire Pat? Pat's been trying to get a job there for 10 years. He kind of gave up on that, and he has his own thing going on now. What, I mean, We have no beef with WWE. TNA is just a dump hole. It's just a crap hole in Orlando. I hate TNA. I wouldn't go there if they offered me. I mean, I tried 2 years ago. Like when Terry Taylor was there, I thought we had some kind of agreement going on. He said, when you get in shape and stuff, I'll get you in. I hit him up. I'm like, hey, what's up? I just moved to Florida. I'm in shape. You want to bring me in over there? This is before I knew how bad their contracts were. And he hits me back and he says, hey, yeah, here's the problem. We already have a towel with your exact same look. You look exactly like Crimson. Oh, really? I look like a 6'5" guy with bright red hair, freckles, tattoos, and a beard? Because other than 6'5", I don't have any of the above.
They just gave you whatever excuse they could come up with, right?
Yeah, but then on top of that, then I found out people like Cookie and all of these people, like I'm really close friends with her, she's my best friend, she was coming out of my house every day when she was on the road as Cookie, and I was feeding her and buying her groceries and stuff. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Why am I buying you groceries? I work at a strip club. Why am I paying for your bills when you're on national TV? And then she's like, I only get $300 a shot. Her contract, and I'll expose it, she was signed for 1 year. This is the same contract Robbie has. She was signed for 1 year, and then at $300 per appearance with no guaranteed dates, meaning that for a year, they could use you once, and that's it. You don't get a weekly check. You only get paid if you get used. She was on pay-per-view in a cage hung above 20 feet above the ring. She got $300 for that. Yeah, that's TNA's pay.
Well,
oh, and you're responsible for gas and rental and all of that crap. So you do the math on that. Do the math on a house show loop when you have to rent a car, pay for gas, pay for your own hotel, and you're getting $300. What the hell do you make at the end of the day?
Like you said, this is not your full-time thing, right? People are generally just doing this.
We're going to strip club. I haven't for the last couple of years. I mean, believe it or not, there's a lot of crossovers between strip club and wrestling business. It's weird. I love what I do. I love this industry. It's easy. I don't want to say it's easy money, but it is easy money. It's laid back. I'm a people person. I can deal with people. It's the entertainment industry. I can deal with female entertainers. I mean, working around a handful of hot naked chicks all day and getting a lot of money for it, not a bad gig. I work over here in Florida. I'm moving up north. Yeah, perfect time to move back up north. But I'm moving to New Jersey in 2 weeks. The week after the show, I'll be there full time. I'm moving up there to Rahway, New Jersey. What?
I'm from New Jersey originally, and so that's great to hear. Now you mentioned that you know how successful PWS is doing and how great they're doing. Are you living the dream right now, or do you think that there is a higher up dream? You seem obviously not to be so interested in going back to the WWE lifestyle per se. So, you know, are you happy with the way things are right now, or what's next?
I'm ecstatic with the way things are right now. I'm actually elated and beyond happy with the way things are currently right now. I've been in PWS for 5 years. I didn't think it would get to this point. Like, we're all taking it step by step, and we're all standing back and looking at it like, whoa, every show is getting bigger and bigger. It's like, wow, what's next? Other things are, I mean, who's to say? The way Ring of Honor to me is crap, but the way they got their back, or the way Jeff Jarrett got his and Dixie Carter and her family, I mean, if we keep getting bigger and bigger, maybe we're gonna strike the lotto, and there's going to be that one guy, that one company, that one backer, this multi-million-dollar corporation that says, hey, like, I believe in this product. Like, let's take it to that next level. Like, here you go. Ring of Honor did it. They're backed, but they're crap. They're not going to last. They have the money to back it, but the fan they don't have the fans' interest in their product. That's where they're hurting. We have the fans' interest in the product. We just don't have that kind of multi-million-dollar money to back it. So we're basically PWS is a mom and pop shop run by the boys for the boys and for the fans. That's what it is. It's not no big corporation running it. It's not no guys in suits and stuff like that walking around playing Vince McMahon like, no, no, you're fired, like blood screaming in people's faces. No, it's a really fun, laid-back atmosphere, and it connects with the people. It connects with the fans, and that's what it is. As far as WWE goes, I mean, I turned 30 in February. I'm not delusional. I know I would pin, like, maybe a 33 years probably is going to be a cutoff age. So, I mean, I don't know. I know they signed Hero and Claudio and stuff like that, and they're signing people in their early 30s or even closer to the mid-30s. I WrestleMania is always a dream. I mean, I would love to say I did it once. I mean, you only live one life. I don't know. I don't know if Bill's going to get – when Bill DeMott gets fired and I'm up north, maybe they open up that developmental in Connecticut that they've been talking about forever. And maybe – I don't know. We're running Mania weekend shows. I just don't know. I know one thing that I'm not going to do. After I leave Florida, I'm not going to be willing to relocate back here. I don't want to do that. I have no desire to do that. It's not. It would take a while for me to even attempt to toy with that idea of doing that because I'm not.
Do you prefer to live up in the Northeast?
I'm a northerner. Yes, I'm a northerner, and honestly, WWE is not in my hindsight. The only way I could see WWE even being realistic again once it, when Bill gets fired, and if PWS doesn't continue to keep growing and growing and growing. Like I said once before, I would love to be the Sting or Tommy Dreamer, so to say, at PWS. I would love. I mean, think of that. Think of what Paul Heyman did with wrestling, and I don't want to compare us to ECW by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm saying how he was this little rinky-dink company, and he literally, out of the thousands of independents around the world, he literally took his company and literally left 2, 3, 5, 20 decades from now, people will talk about ECW. Like, you would look it up, people would be like, remember that Fed ECW? They left their staple in the wrestling business and left that mark. I mean, how freaking great would it be to imagine that. Like, I think about that sometimes. I'm like, what if? It's almost like hitting the lotto. Somebody came along, they backed PWS. We got on a national TV station, and we grew, and we became that, like, TNA-esque kind of company. We have the deal, but we actually know what the hell we're doing, and we're better than TNA. We're already better than TNA. We deliver better than TNA. We send the fans home happy. And I don't know, like, the thought of the possibility of building this thing from the ground up to make it that worldwide company, like, it's in the back of my mind, and that would just be beyond words. And I can't, I mean, it's one thing at a time. Obviously, we're going to start small. We're doing great in Jersey. The next step would be branching out to Philadelphia, which we're targeting next year. We have Mania Weekend booked up. We have Thursday and Friday. It's like April 4th and 5th. And then we also have that Sunday early on locked in. I know we're doing two guy shows. We're doing guy show Thursday and Friday. And then that Sunday, we're either going to do a girl show or a student show or something. I don't know.
Is that in Rahway? Because there's also that WrestleCon that's around that time.
We're going head-to-head with WrestleCon.
Okay, it's going to be in Rahway.
We're running in Rahway Thursday. Thursday's unopposed. We're running unopposed on Thursday, Mania Weekend, and we're running head-to-head with WrestleCon on Friday.
Do you think that the location is good for PWS being in Rahway, New Jersey? Do you think that where do you think you mentioned that you guys want to go to Philadelphia and branch out? What's the next step for PWS?
Rahway's home to us. We draw 1,000 people in Rahway. Rahway's home. Rahway's a perfect distance between Philadelphia and New York, and it's a happy medium. It's a huge, nice, beautiful venue. And we run a wrestling school in Rahway. Our ring stays in Rahway. We have two rings. We have the 20x20 in Rahway and the new 16x16 in Rahway. We have two rings in Rahway. All of our equipment's in the closet. Everything we have is in Rahway. Our schools run out of that facility. That's our home. We pack the building, and every time fans know it, it's officially PWS's building. Absolutely. There's no rhyme or reason that we need to.
Well, I was going to say that I noticed a lot of these independent wrestling promotions, they have their school, and that's sort of how they get started and try to put on these shows. So what do you think PWS does so well with their school? Why is their school so successful?
Well, it's only been around since June. I always said when we started the school, there has to be a bigger picture. The bigger picture for PWS is our shows. Our shows are great. We have great shows. There's some flaws on them, but for the most part, from an independent show, they're great. We pack a crowd in, and I put myself as a student first starting out 13 years ago. I had no bigger picture when I started in Johnny Rods. They did school shows, bull crap school shows in front of 100 people and in a sweaty boxing game, and I was so nervous and looking forward to those. Now you look, if you're a student going to a PWS show and you see one of our shows, you see 1,000 people, you see Lex Luger, Velvet Sky, Matt Hardy, Mr. Belding, Demolition, Powers of Pain, and you literally, your inside just drops to the floor and you take two steps back and you're gasping for air and you can't believe what you're seeing. Like, I'm not at that stage. There's some people that I enjoy meeting that I haven't met. Bret Hart, for example. First time meeting Bret Hart, I wasn't, like, jumping around like a little schoolgirl, but, I mean, the second I shook his hand, I said to myself, because that's the guy who inspired me to become a wrestler, my all-time favorite ever. So the first time I met him, May 4th, I shook his hand. I said to myself, like, in my own head, I was like, this is it. Like, I finally shook this man's hand. It's my whole life. Like, you know, he built up that whole life to have one moment, like, shaking this guy's hand. But that's the bigger picture. You go to PWS, you see the shows, you see what we're building towards, and you want to be a part of it. When you don't have a bigger picture, like Chikara, Chikara has a bigger picture. Your school's successful because Chikara does a million shows, and their shows are great and stuff like that. People want to be on those shows, so they want to join the school, learn quack style, and be a part of the Chikara shows. Same thing with PWS. Our shows are great. They're big. They draw a lot of fans. They bring in every wrestling legend that you could possibly think of from your childhood. You want to be a part of these things. The thought of being a part of these things is mind-blowing. And at the dirt cheap rate that they charge for the school compared to the other schools, it's a steal. It's a freaking steal. And already, the students, after 3 months training, they debuted in a battle royal. Their first match was in front of 1,000 people on September 14th. And then their second match was a 5-on-5 last month on October 12th. In front of, again, a jam-packed, sold-out crowd. Like, and that's the bigger picture. That's why our school's successful. There's other schools that just put a ring in a building and say, there's a wrestling school, give me money. Okay, and then, right. Then what? Then I train you to be a wrestler. Then what? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Go wrestle somewhere. What? What kind of crap is that? We already got our students booked on other places, on other small companies that myself and Pat Buck are affiliated with, or Eric Tapout does business with, and so on. So, like, we're dishing out our students, like, two here, one there, getting them little side work in exchange for things, helping them out and stuff like that. And which we'll have one guy owns a company that we use on the show and stuff like that. Like, for example, I'll say, like, our buddy Lance, like that, that works for us. Lance Anoa'i. Anoa'i, is that how you pronounce it? Samu's son. He mentioned it the other day. He's like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll get a couple of guys over in WXW because he works in WXW and stuff like that. We use Lance over here. We're bringing in Alpha Jr. and stuff like that. We use Rikishi. Like, we help out the Samoan. They help out. We're not looking to get booked. I'm not looking to get booked. Pat's not looking to get booked. We're looking to get our students help, that students work, because they need it. I mean, I'm not sounding egotistical. I don't need it. But, like, I'll use my connections to benefit them. Case in point, someone hit me up the other day, and they said, hey, I want to use you on the show, and somebody, what do you charge, yada, yada. And I literally cut my rate for them, and I said, listen, I will work for X amount of dollars. I said, in exchange, give me one match on the show that I could put a bunch of the students in. And I'll go to bat for these kids, and so will Pat, and so will everybody. I mean, we're a team. We're a family in PWS. Like, we're going to help them out, and they're helping us out, and that's the way it works. Right. That's the bigger picture.
You guys take care of the students, and you take care of them preparing for their careers.
We're not taking PWS isn't taking the students' money and then throwing them overboard and saying, okay, now tread water, you're fucked. Like, that's not how it goes, and that's not how it ever should be with a wrestling school. Like, that's how it was with Johnny Rods. And Johnny Rods didn't want you to do independence. Johnny Rods didn't want you to do anything. He wanted you to stay in the school, rot to death, and give him all your money. And that was baloney. That was a bunch of bull. Same thing with Dory Funk. Same thing with a lot of these places, man. They're crooks. They're crooks with no big picture at stake, and the quote-unquote family that's there isn't willing to help you and isn't trying to help you in any which way possible. And it's a bunch of baloney, and it's a bunch of garbage.
Right.
That's just me now, speaking my mind again.
Yeah, Kevin, you're going to be wrestling Mr. Belding come November. But after that, who's next in line for you? Who's next in line for your championship?
Oh, before we close the topic of the school, real quick, anyone who's looking to become a professional wrestler for PWS, go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com and check out the school section of the website, and it has every single bit of information that you could ever want. As of 2 weeks, I'm going to be up there full-time, training at the school full-time. If you're looking to become a professional wrestler and get the best training possible, I mean, we're not just blowing smoke up your butt. If you go to the website and go to the school section, you'll see what everyone in the WWE, from Ryback to Simon Dean to Tom Pritchard to everybody in between, said about Pat Buck and his training. Like, he is well more than qualified to train you the right way and get you on the right track. And like I just went over before, we'll all help you along the way in every which way possible we can with our connections. As far as who's next, I don't know. Like, I'm not thinking. I'm almost treating this like UFC. I'm not thinking about who's next. I know I'm going to kill this guy, but I'm not looking past him. I'm not looking past him into December 7th. December 7th, our next show. I mean, I know I'll have the strap. I'm not defending it against Belding, and I'm not losing against Belding either way, so it doesn't matter. So I'll defend my belt against somebody come March. Come December 9th, 7th. I don't know who it's going to be. So we'll see what happens on November. That's November 9th in Rahway, New Jersey. Rahway Recreation
Center.
Yeah.
I think 275
East Milton Avenue, baby.
Go ahead.
I was going to say 275 East Milton Avenue, Rahway, New Jersey, at the Rahway Recreation Center. That is November 9th, November 9th, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Be there or be square, brother. What else are you saying?
You can follow Pro Wrestling Syndicate on Twitter. It's Pro WRE Syndicate. You can find them on Facebook as well. I know
Facebook.
That they started
/ Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
And they started talking about, I think, the December show a little bit. I think they started to announce some people who are going to be there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know we have Goldust on the show, and, I mean, we have Mantar versus Tito Santana. All of Reality Check will be there. I don't know. I mean, the call will start coming into play better. Like, just go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com or follow it on Facebook, Facebook.com/ProWrestlingSyndicate. You went over the Twitter page. Like, the website will have up-to-date content. Actually, the Facebook, too. The Facebook is the first thing to get updated with new additions and stuff. We also have Bombshell Ladies of Wrestling, the day before PWS. I know we have Winter. I think Winter just got confirmed, Katie Leia. She's on Bombshell show on December 6th and PWS December 7th. You can follow me on Twitter at @TooCockyKM. You can listen to my weekly podcast along with Jay Silva and Pat Thorne at 2.5 Wrestlers. It's on Twitter. What is it? It's at @TAAHWSPC. The 2.5 Wrestlers podcast. That's on Twitter. And also 2.5Wrestlers.com is the website for our podcast. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, /XKevinMatthewsX. Anything else, boss man?
Well, I just want to let everyone know that tickets are almost sold out for the November 9 show. I see front row.
I got to stop you. Tickets for the first and second row are complete, so that general admission is still available.
Right. So I'm sure there's only a limited number of tickets available still.
No, I mean, we pack it, but we never packed it to the point of turning people away. I don't want to misguide people and lie to them. But we do pack it. We do draw. I don't know. We never gauge it, but, I mean, just from an eyeball gauge, I don't know, 1,000 people, I'll just say to be happy. I mean, maybe it's 800,
right.
Maybe it's 11. I don't freaking know. Who knows? But, yeah, come in. So, I mean, I should say get there early, get a ticket, and then you get a nice good seat. Get there 2 hours early. I think 6 to 8 is the signing, the pre-show signing. You get to meet myself with the belt and along with everybody else that we have on the show. Get a nice bunch of pictures, autographs, yada, yada, yada. It'll be a good time for everyone.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Everyone, look out for Kevin. Be there November 9th in Rahway as Kevin Matthews goes one-on-one with Mr. Belding.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you there. You there?
Yeah, sorry, Kevin. I'm just
my phone cut out for a second.
I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. You know, it's been such a pleasure, and everyone should look out for Kevin to go one-on-one with Mr. Belding November 9th in Rahway, New Jersey, presented by Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks a lot, man. You take care. Have a good one. I'll see everyone November 9th.
All right. Have a good night. That was Kevin Matthews, Pro Wrestling Syndicate champion, discussing his upcoming match against Mr. Belding. And that took a majority of our show here tonight. We do have about 10 minutes left. If anyone who's listening wants to call in and give us your take on Pro Wrestling Syndicate or news or rumor that you're hearing in terms of any wrestling promotion, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, whatnot, you're more than welcome to go ahead and call in. One news that I was reading, Jim Ross, good old JR, and his blog had some interesting things to say recently. To talk about some of those real quick, JR said, unique crowd in Atlanta on Sunday and not the typical Hotlanta grouping. Either we did not provide what they wanted to see or they as a group didn't connect to the show. Nonetheless, for me, it is always good to work in a city where I enjoyed living for so long and in a market that has created so many memories for yours truly. I know that a lot of people were complaining about the crowd reaction during Hell in a Cell. I noticed that the crowd was pretty dead, and that can change a lot for the show. It could affect the show very much. Jim Ross also had to say, in terms of the Brad Maddox situation. Certainly the rogue referee Brad Maddox story has folks talking, and it will be interesting to hear what Maddox has to say at some point in the future, which might be this Monday in Birmingham, England,
on Raw, where I will travel to assist Michael Cole before the King returns to the announce table the following week in Columbus, Ohio. The British fans, really all the fans in that part of the world, are generally some of the most enthusiastic and loud fans that we experience, which naturally helps make any broadcast better. So it'll be interesting to see what WWE chooses to do with Brad Maddox. I wrote today on Bleacher Report, check it out, possible scenarios involving Brad Maddox. Where are they going to go with this? Are they just going to drop it? I really, really hope not. They did that with the whole anonymous GM story, and it just made them look really, really bad. So hopefully they don't do that. And JR also points out that on Monday, we will have Jerry the King Lawler back at the announce table. We do have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take that caller. Area code 216, you are on the line with ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Oh, you didn't know.
How's it going, guys? My name is Jay.
Jay, where are you from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Welcome to the show. Would you like to discuss Pro Wrestling Syndicate? Our guest Kevin Matthews is here, or some of the things I was talking about in terms of JR's blog?
Yeah, I was just calling in and joining the conversation about the whole JR blog thing and some other rumors that we were talking about earlier.
All right, what do you think about the Brad Maddox situation?
No, I have two things. Maybe one thing I'll ask you. At Hell in a Cell, the finish with the referee, Brad Maddox, and how it went down, people said on my show, I also have a show on Blog Talk Radio called Talking WWE with Jay. Me and my co-hosts were, debating about this. People thought it was very stupid how it went down, with the referee being involved. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it could have ended a different way, or what's your take on that?
That's a very good question. I will tell you that I actually thought it was a great idea. I thought it was something no one was expecting. There was a lot of talk about what was going to be the finish here. WWE wasn't even sure in the back what they were going to do. I think they knew it was too soon to give the title to Ryback, and they didn't want to take it off of CM Punk, but at the same time, they couldn't let Ryback look weak. No one expected this. No one saw it coming. I think the biggest issue right now is what do they do from here? What do they do with Brad Maddox? They cannot just drop the storyline. They cannot just suspend him, and then we never hear from him again. That would be terrible. They need to go forward with this. They need to do something with Brad Maddox, make him a wrestler again. I was watching Main Event tonight, and Michael Cole mentioned how Brad Maddox tried to be a wrestler and failed. So hopefully they do something with him. Jay, what do you think that they should do with Brad Maddox?
I totally agree with you. Of course, dragging the storyline out with Brad Maddox and the whole situation with the WWE champion CM Punk should drag out. Of course, they're brought back when Brad Maddox did cheat CM Punk a couple weeks, maybe a month back when his foot was on the bottom rope, but still got, the pin count and lost in that match. This storyline can be dragged out and, it could make a huge impact in the storyline. Of course, they shouldn't drop it at all. I totally agree with what you said with keeping Brad Maddox in his storyline. And hopefully you hear his thoughts maybe why he did do what he did with his low blow right back in the cell. Hear his side of the story and then continue on from there. And another question I did want to ask you was the Survivor Series form, Mick Foley versus CM Punk's team. People did say that, Mick Foley wasn't supposed to be on Raw. He shouldn't have appeared. And this whole idea is kind of, playing out stupid with Mick Foley and CM Punk. I personally disagree with that comment, but do you think Mick Foley didn't fit his spot in Raw?
I did think it was a little weird to have Mick Foley be the team captain. We almost never see Mick Foley. Why not have Ryback be the team captain, John Cena be the team captain? Even Vince McMahon could have been the team captain. So I thought the choice of Mick Foley was definitely a little weird. And the whole match itself is just all the Hell in a Cell matches put into one big tag team match. So it raises a lot of questions about what the rest of the card, what the rest of the Survivor Series card is going to look like. Last year, we only saw one traditional five-on-five Survivor Series match. Just one. The rest were singles and tag team matches, and that's just ridiculous. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, even later 90s, we saw a number of traditional Survivor Series matches at this pay-per-view, so I'm hoping that this is not the only traditional Survivor Series match.
Yeah, I do agree. Hopefully it's not, but, you know, it's looking like this is the huge main event match, so most likely this could be the only one, you know, with just with the Mick Foley versus CM Punk. Hopefully they do add some more in there. But it looked like they brought their top guys, you know, sort of the top guys, like Team Hell No, into this match. So most likely I'm thinking maybe we only see one traditional match this year once again to help Survivor Series.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling, Jay. I know you follow me on Twitter. Check out Jay's podcast if you want to tell everyone how to find you and find the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you can just go to iTunes and type in Talking WWE with Jay, and you can easily access that. Subscribe to me. You can find out all our upcoming shows and more. Actually, I have a show tomorrow called Laid Back Thursday. We talk about WWE news, rumors, and all other kinds of stuff. That'll be tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, thanks for having me on the show, Pro Wrestling. Great being with you guys, talking about this sort of thing.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right, well, we only have about 2.5 minutes left in the show, thanks to our wonderful guest, PWS champion Kevin Matthews. Again, Kevin Matthews is the PWS heavyweight champion. He will be wrestling Mr. Belding in Rahway, New Jersey on November 9th. Front row and second row tickets are sold out, but you can still get general admission tickets. I highly recommend it. Again, my name is Seth Gutwrench Guttenplan. This is Oh You Didn't Know, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com's new wrestling news and rumor show. You can find me on Facebook at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Check out my blog at GutwrenchPowerBlog.com. That is Gut with two T's. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. See a lot of articles, podcasts. I know that PWP has their weekly podcast with Jay, the owner of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, every Tuesday night. I believe it's at 9 p.m. So check that out. Thank you all for listening. And next week, I'm sure we will get to more news and rumors, and maybe even have another guest. So for Seth and for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, I just want to thank you all for listening and enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you. Oh, you didn't know? Y'all ass better call.